Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. I like that tie, Levi. I think it'll go with my shirt. You think we could maybe swap that out this morning? Say what? You got four ties? All right, man. Well, I could borrow that one then, couldn't I? Well, it's good to see you all here this morning. And, you know, sometimes we need a little help, and I need a little help this morning. You know, I'm using the wheelchair here. I could probably walk a little bit, but quite honestly, it hurts quite a bit. So I'm using this, and so I'm a little bit lower today. I'm a little bit lower, so hope you don't mind as we have our children's time this morning. I don't know how many of you have caught fish before. One, two, three. We caught some fish. Have you seen somebody catch fish? Have you watched somebody on TV catch fish? There you go. Okay, good deal. Okay. All right, everybody, I think, seen somebody. You caught a bunch of them, huh? Yeah. You and your daddy what now? Okay. Daddy caught one fish. Is that all you caught there, Dad? Just that one fish? That's all you ever caught. Okay. Caught one catfish. Those are pretty good. Yeah. Well, I'm going to show you some pictures up here of some fish, okay? Here we go. First one we're going to show up here. Look at there. That's a pretty good-sized fish, isn't it? You know what you can do with fish, though? If you can actually hold them out front like that, and they show up a lot bigger than they do if they... I see some folks nodding their heads there. Y'all have tried this. This is actually my grandson. This is Carter. And last summer, we went to our place down at in East Texas, and out there on our lake. And yeah, he caught that bass, a pretty good sized bass there. That's one kind of fish. That's one of bass. You know, those are pretty neat. Those are pretty neat to catch. And I think it weighed in. I mean, it was pretty good size. It weighed in about almost 3 pounds. So pretty good sized fish. Yeah. Now, we also stayed out there, and we caught some more fish. We'll see that next one here. Can y'all see those fish in the basket down there?
Yes.
Yeah, see those? There's the bass. And there's a bunch of other kind of fish in there. There's what we call brim. Does anybody know what brim are? Yeah, brim are kind of a perch-like fish, and they usually don't get too big. They don't get too big, but they're fun to catch. And we also had some other types of fish in there. We had some crappie, caught some crappie, and they're sort of like between a perch and a bass, you know, and we actually couldn't see them very well in there. We caught some pretty good sized crappie, caught all these different kinds of crappie. And believe it or not, we also we caught a turtle that day. Yeah. We didn't put him in the basket. We didn't bring him home. We did put him back in the water. She said we need to put him back in the water, and that's exactly what we did. Yeah, we didn't want to bring him home. So, or him or her. I don't know if it's a him or her. So, anyway. Okay. Well, there's all kinds of fish out there. In our pond, we have some catfish, by the way. We've got bass. We've got crappie. We've got brim. There's small minnows running around in the lake out there. There's some turtles even that show. We didn't catch any, but I know there's some snakes out there as well. Yeah. And so, lots of kind of things out there in the water. But we're going to talk today. Yes, I've seen water snakes. But anyway, you know, when we fish, a lot of times we fish like this. We throw out, a rod and reel, or we use a cane pole, and we bring in the fish. And but back in Jesus' day, what they did was they threw out nets, and they brought in those nets, and they caught those fish. And there were all kinds of fish in there. And a story that we'll read in just a little bit talks about, there were 153 fish that were caught. 153 fish in that. That's quite a bit, isn't it? That'd fill up that basket several times, wouldn't it? Probably more than that. Well, you know, when we think about fish and 153 different fish, and what all kinds of fish they were, we're not exactly sure. But there were all kinds of fish that they brought in that net. And We're just reminded that we're to go out there and we're to do fishing for boys and girls and men and women. Not with fishing line or anything, but with sharing them. With sharing them about the Bible. That's sort of a way we fish for people. We share with them about the love that Jesus has for them, okay? And so we're fishing for them. Jesus, when he first started off his ministry, these guys were out there fishing with all these nets, and he says, lay down your nets and come and follow me, and we'll be fishers of people. And so we want to make sure that we're fishers of people, that we're sharing with them. We're sharing with them about Jesus. We're sharing about the love and forgiveness that Jesus offers, okay? So lots of kinds of fish in the lake, lots of kinds of fish in the ocean, and lots of kinds of people that we need to share the love of Jesus Christ with, okay? All right. All right, well, we're gonna stand up today, except for me, and we're going to have our prayer. Here, Levi's joined here. Oh, man, fishing season is open. It is open. Y'all have a good one.
Our first reading today is from 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you receive to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. There was a Lutheran pastor, and the Lutheran pastor was part of a group of met with, you know, did some prayer time and share time with some other pastors. And in that group, there were three Methodists. And so the Lutheran pastor invited the three Methodists to come to his church. And but they get there late, kind of like some Methodist pastors do. They got there late. And anyway, the place was packed with people, and there was just really no place for the three Methodist pastors to sit. So the senior pastor, he's up front, he sees the three Methodist pastors come in, and he tells his associates, he says, get three chairs for the Methodists. And the guy goes, what? Get three chairs for the Methodists. I can't hear you. Get three chairs for the Methodists. The guy goes, okay. So he stood up. And he stood up with his microphone on. And he says, three chairs for the Methodists. Hip, hip, hurrah. Hip, hip, hurrah. Hip, hip, hurrah. I guess, boo, the bar got lowered on that one, didn't it? Okay. I don't know. We'll have to see about the second service if that one works. Our sermon text today comes from John's Gospel. We'll be reading from John 21, 1 through 17. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. And when they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it. and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught, that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know everything. You know I love you. And then Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. This is the word of God for the people of God. And we respond by saying, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, giving you thanks here for the written word. The written word that leads to the living word of Jesus Christ. God, we pray that the living word of Jesus Christ will speak to us today. Dear Lord, we pray that what is said here today and what is heard and what is felt, that it will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you truly are our rock and our redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, there's lots of references in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, about fishing. And obviously a major occupation in those days. Over the next few weeks, we're going to declare that fishing season is open. So we'll be looking at some scriptures that are related to fishing. These are not fish tales, but they are indeed true accounts about fishing. The setting that we read here from John's Gospel goes something like this. The geographic place was the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee. Some scholars feel that Jesus conducted about 85% of his ministry around this sea. And so a very important piece of geography there. Also a very important place of spiritual things that went on with Jesus. It's also believed that this was a place that was near the Sermon of the Mount. It is believed that, of course, is where he spoke the Beatitudes. And it's also a near place where there was the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, where he fed the 5,000. This event probably takes place several days after Jesus' resurrection. We don't know how many days, but he was on earth, and he has not ascended to his Father in heaven. But it had to be several days because they were in Jerusalem after the resurrection. And then under the direction of the two Marys, those two Marys tell the disciples, you need to go to Galilee because Jesus had commanded them to tell the disciples to do that. So they go about 75 miles north and 75 nautical miles. But in essence, it's really about 100 miles the time you walk along and move up and down and so forth. It's about a 100-mile trip. So it would have taken several days to get there. We now find them back in Galilee, and they're back to their old occupation of fishing. And Peter, he kind of appears to be setting the tone here for these other disciples. And it's back to business as usual. You know, now they're going fishing. And instead of spreading the gospel news, they've gone back to fishing. You know, when we don't get into the gospel much, we kind of miss out on Jesus, don't we? And so they were kind of missing out on Jesus. They weren't spreading the gospel, just going back to the things they knew, and that was fishing. And then Jesus appears on the shore, and he gives some new direction for this failing fishing expedition. They've been fishing all night. They hadn't caught anything. And then there's this marvelous catch of fish. And Jesus, the gospel says that Peter, he waded back out onto the boat and he helped his partners to haul in this tremendous catch of fish, 153 of them. Not 152, not 154, but 153. And so we do kind of wonder, why 153 fish? There was a guy that was a scholar, 300 AD, give or take a little bit. His name was Jerome. He was a scholar. He was a historian. And what he wrote was, it was believed that there were 153 total species of fish at that time that the Bible was written. Now, we don't know that if that's scientifically true or not, but it certainly gives some symbolism here that if there were 153 species of fish that were brought in, that means it was all-encompassing. So for those disciples and for us, what that means is it's all-encompassing as we share the gospel, as we go fishing for men and women. And we also remember that the gospel net is for everyone. It's for everyone, all types of folks, all people everywhere. That's kind of the story behind the fish there. You know, Jesus on the shore tells them to throw the net on the other side. They do. They get this bunch of fish. They see this guy on the beach. They recognize it's Jesus. They go to the beach, and Jesus now is cooking breakfast for them on the beach. Now, here's another part of this. This story here is Jesus is asking Peter, Simon Peter, asking him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me more than any of these others? You know, when the chips were down and the cross was about to happen, Peter kind of hightailed it out of there, didn't he? Peter and the rest of the disciples, they kind of moved on. They made bold claims, especially Peter, you know, I'll never desert you. But when the chips were down, they did indeed hightail it. They did turncoat, if you will. And so Jesus is asking specifically Simon Peter, you know, do you love me? And he asked him that three times. And a lot of scholars feel that the reason for the questions three times is to remind Peter of his three times that he denied Christ. Peter Marshall, his former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, he preached a sermon one time on Simon Peter and called him the rock that moved. You know, Jesus says, told Peter, you know, on this rock I will build my church. But Peter Marshall makes this particular sermon the rock that moved and talked about Peter's sinking abilities as much as his standing on the rock type abilities. You know, a rock sinks if you throw it in water. Well, this is what Peter Marshall is saying, that here is Peter, often a sinking, he's a sinking rock. Do you love me? You know, that's the question by each one of us, that either we stand or we fall, or we stand or we sink. Peter, like most of us, he's failed his Lord. He probably hurt the one that he professed to love. And yet, in spite of all this, he did love his Lord. He did love him. So he said to Jesus, probably with these tears streaming down his face, Lord, you know what's deep down inside of me. You know that I failed and faltered and fallen short, but you know I love you. And then Jesus said to him, Peter, feed my sheep, I feed my lambs. You know, failure in our faith, has come to every one of us at some time or another. It truly has. It's probably the one common denominator with every one of us. The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it never denies the reality of failure. I mean, just look. Just look, if you see, just your Old Testament prophets and kings, Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Elijah and David, they all had failures in their faith. But you know what? Failure is only an option with our Lord if we let it continue to be an option. Here on this beach, Christ speaks to His disciples in their moments of failure and their memory of abandoning Him. After this death of Jesus on a Friday, some of the disciples responded to Peter's suggestion that they go back to the routine of fishing. So now they're out fishing. It was obviously something they knew how to do. Some of these disciples had been fishermen. That was their occupation. Not all of them, but a number of them had been. And they had responded to that initial call by Jesus to follow Him. And become fishers of men. This scripture says it was daybreak early in the morning, and they were fishing these waters in the Sea of Galilee, and this stranger from the shoreline inquires about their progress. And not only were the disciples weighed down with their failure of the past few days, but they had failed at catching the fish. Then they have this unsolicited advice from the shore. Throw your nets on the other side. And the disciples probably thought, who do we have here? Who's this guy? And then the surprise of Peter and the other disciples when they realized it was really Jesus out there. They come to see Him, and Jesus makes breakfast for them, even though they had betrayed and deserted Him. You know, He could have laid it down heavy on them. He could have scolded them. He could have lectured them. He could have said, especially for Peter, He says, "You know, I told you so. I told you so." But He didn't. You know, He fed their physical bodies with fish. But He fed their souls with mercy and grace. His presence reminded them on the beach that only Jesus' resurrection of power yields that grace. Jesus reminds Peter and the disciples what was a tomb has now become a womb for new life. Jesus comes to the shoreline, turn this pity party into a celebration of new life, a new beginning. Jesus comes to heal the failures of the disciples, not to hammer them into further humiliation. He comes to alter Peter's plans to return to casting their nets for fish and casting them to catch people for the sake of the gospel. There was a vision that a young pastor had for an area in South Dallas, South Oak Cliff. Some of you are from Dallas. Some of you know that area there. And over the years, it's become a pretty tough part of town. Lots of gang activity, drugs, drive-by shootings, prostitution, criminal activity. But this young pastor, he wanted to build this church and make it a refuge for the community. Have something going on 7 days a week there, be it daycare, be it job training, not just a place for Sunday morning worship, which they did, but he wanted it to be a pillar of hope. So he got some sponsors together from some other churches. They got enough money to purchase the land. Perfect location and a good price. And they got more money. And they had enough that they could begin the building of one of their main buildings on their future campus. But the city of Dallas wouldn't grant them a permit. Yeah. The city would come out and they'd take soil samples. And the soil, it was contaminated. You see, they had purchased this land. They'd purchased this land that was a former garbage dump. No wonder the land was so cheap. And the pastor, he was devastated. He'd gotten folks to sponsor the program. He felt that he was going to be a disgrace to his sponsors and to his denomination. He's ready to quit. Jesus showed up, kind of like He did with these disciples on the beach. People began to pray and seek the Lord's direction, and the Lord would not let that dream die. What seemed like a death in reality became life. Somehow, when the final request for the permit was granted, the city of Dallas had come out there and drilled down in the ground and drilled and drilled and drilled all over it and could find no contamination. The permit was granted. The facility was built, and for many years it was an island of hope in a very desperate place. what seemed like death had now become new life. And with Jesus and the disciples, even though they had abandoned Him and it seemed like death, His resurrection assured those disciples that Jesus had not given up on them. Folks, Jesus has not given up on us. He hasn't. He has overcome sin and death, and His resurrection proves it. You know, if we believe the resurrection of Jesus has overcome our sin and death, we need to do something with it. You know, those words and questions by Jesus to Peter, you know, they're for us as well. Jesus is asking, "Do you love me?" And then He's saying, "Then feed my lambs." "Do you love me?" "Then tend my sheep." "Do you love me?" "Then feed my sheep." In other words, if we love Jesus, we're to promote, share, and feed the world with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ in both our words and in our deeds. We'll share with the world the hope that Jesus, in Jesus, sin and death, and even failure in our faith, it's been overcome because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I'll leave y'all with these thoughts today. Do you love Jesus? Then feed His lambs. Do you love Jesus? Then tend His sheep. Do you love Jesus? Then feed His sheep. Do you love Jesus? Do you? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.